Done in a long time, about 6, maybe 7 years. And that's doing a Blog Talk Radio show at 6 o'clock Pacific time. It just hasn't worked out, and finally the opportunity has come full circle. And so it's kind of interesting. Anyway, I am Douglas H. Malloy, a.k.a. Dougie Slap. This is Welcome to My Point of View, and it's good to be back in the overall scheme of things as they have been in the past and all that good stuff. It just makes for interesting times, if nothing else. And so back into the foray and all that good stuff, and the thing that's nice is that I've been doing my Blog Talk Radio show from 12 to 12:30 on my lunch hour, which was the only time that I had available because my time slot is Tuesdays, and this just opened up, and Kathy was kind enough to extend the invitation for me to do a show. Anyway, I've got my friend who's called in to listen to the show. Hopefully her phone's plugged in because we seem to get cut off every time we talk on the phone. I'd like to welcome guest 3252, or maybe it's 5232. 3232, welcome to the show. And I say let's get on with the show. I am a broadcasting live from Mount Shasta, which is a good place for me. The nice thing about being back in California is I have learned that there's only the oneness of synchronicity of the right thing at the right time for the right reason, and it's always a work in progress. It's always interesting. And so it makes for a curious, it's like this show, Curious Times with Chris, broadcast, I think it's every night from 7 to, I think it's 10, actually. I think she does a three-hour show, but maybe I'm wrong. No, she does a two-hour show and then an hour of archive, and she's been doing it for, I think, the last 3 years. If it goes by the name or title of Curious Times, this is Kathy's Distant Echoes, of which I am fortunate that she extended the invitation for me to be a host. And the one nice thing about being here in Mount Shasta is it just gets better and better and better. Last week I had probably the best personal day I've ever had, and it didn't involve anything having to do with money. Didn't have anything to do with music, actually. It was just me being me within the context of my life and times and just going around doing this, doing that. Anyway, I thought I'd do a show that I have titled Jehovah versus Yahweh in it. Anybody who has studied the Torah, well, actually, I'll qualify. Anyone who has read the Old Testament, King James Version, that was translated from the Hebrew, because in the Hebrew, in the Torah, the name Jehovah, it's the Lord God Jehovah in the Old Testament. In the Torah of Judaism, it's YHWH. God Jehovah is actually a warlord God Jehovah. The interesting thing is that Hinduism has Shiva, the destroyer. Christianity has the Lord God, but it's not thought of as a destroyer God, even though if you read the Old Testament, once Jehovah took possession of the Israelites as his chosen people, the next thing you know, the only thing that's taking place is the Israelites are wiping everybody out, all the neighboring tribes, so to speak. In the Muslim faith, or is the Islamic tradition of the Quran, the name of the destroyer God is Allah. And so it becomes an interesting thing when looking at it from the perspective of there's that which created us. It goes by the name Yahweh, which also happens to be YHWH. So a qualification has to be made about what is YHWH. And it has two connotations. One is the destroyer God, warlord God, if you will. And the other is the creator of man. And there's a convolution, if you will. They've been flip-flopped. The assumption is that they're both the same. And the answer is no, they're not. There is the creator. The name of that which brought what the creator created is it. And so the three entities that compose the history of human beingness specifically is Yahweh the creator, it the bestower, or could be thought of as the father that brought us to life. And then you have the warlord God Jehovah that conquers, enslaves, and destroys. And this is the legacy that we have been involved with for a long, long time. It's very possible that the invader culture mindset is a direct result of the dispensation of hierarchy, elitism, superiority, chosenness, good versus evil, lived as the social mores, if you will, social behaviors of war, greed, class distinction under the blanket process of conquering, enslaving, and destroying. It is a subject matter that I have shied away from because there's simply a misunderstanding on this planet. Humanity has been hoodwinked, if you will. Humanity has been duped because I'm of the opinion, it's something that I write about. I've written 8 books. I have 8 books in print. I've written a total of 17 books, and I have 7 books that I'm working on. And one of the books that I wrote is called The Bible, What Does It Mean, When If Not Now? And one of the things is that I discuss the Old Testament, the New Testament. Bible is kind of a curious document in that if an individual reads the original the idea was in the beginning was the Logos of God, and Logos was translated into word, which is one of its meanings, but Logos actually means in the beginning was the universe of God. And then it goes from there. And that is not, the universe is a secondary state. It is not the primary state and condition of God. The way that I understand God as a state or representation is that the original state and condition of God is an all-encompassingness. And this all-encompassingness gave rise to its inverse reversal, which means it went from an all-encompassingness, which was uniform and constant, to a diversification or an infinitude. So the primary state of God is all-encompassingness. The secondary state of God is infinity or universality. And the third state and condition of God is consciousness. And it's from the perspective of consciousness that a given state evolves or develops into, it can be thought of according to the raw awareness, growth, self-awareness. And from self-awareness, there is a binary development as either positive or negative, service polarity. There's that which serves itself. There's that which serves others. So there's a divergence that takes place at the level of self-awareness in which the self is considered the be-all and the end-all of everything. And we see lots of people demonstrating this in positions of power. Then there are those who represent what could be thought of as positive polarity, which most of the great teachers of the past, well, it's interesting because great teachers of the past, Zoroaster, Buddha, Jesus, primarily, and there are others, those three come to mind. And then you have individuals like Attila the Hun, Genghis Khan, Alexander the Great, Pol Pot, Stalin, Idi Amin, Hitler, Mussolini, are basically human portrayals of the warlord god or the destroyer god that's depicted in Hinduism, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism specifically. We humans don't do a very good job of differentiating why there is a destroyer god. And we are basically completely misguided about what this destroyer god is and does, according to the Seth material. This is a quote, the Star of David and recreation of the state of Israel necessitates the return of Jehovah for his people, according to Rampla, who did a tape back in the 80s called Jehovah versus Id, the next great battle that's going to be fought on the surface of this, is not going to be fought on the surface of the planet, but in the heavens between the warlord God Jehovah and Id, the father of man. So it will be interesting to see if, in fact, this is something that takes place within the context of our life and times. One of the opportunities that we have is to understand the dynamic that fear plays, because without fear, a given thing would remain as a state of love forever. And so the agency of fear is necessary so that it demises or ends a particular state, a particular experience, so that something else can come along as one's evolved representation, if you will. When we are looking at the process of our life, the Mayan calendar, which I was told many years ago I was the originator or creator of, the reason why you have the 13 symbols and the 20 symbols representing 33 is because Yahweh is a collective of 13 states. It is a collective of 20 states. They are given a representation, each of the figures that corresponds to the 13 on the Mayan calendar, and the 20 are literally pictographs of the beings that correspond to Yahweh as an entity that is more than one. It is more than one. The reason why we have 13 strands of DNA that are coming back into the foray is because each strand of narrative DNA corresponds to an aspect of Yahweh. And one of these days, Yahweh and it, and it's very possible that the Lord God Jehovah is going to show up. From what I understand is that when the Ark of the Covenant is discovered in the Sahara Desert, according to Ramp, it's buried under approximately 1.5 miles of sand. That when it is rediscovered, that is when Jehovah will present itself. And according to Ramtha, according to my psychic friend Marge, when Jehovah and Yid do battle once again, people are going to have one of two choices. Well, a person will either move into fear and be taken by Jehovah, or the person will move into love, positive, and the individuals that choose love and stop and think about it. Jesus taught love, forgiveness, and doing unto others as a resolution to fear, judgment, and persecution, which were the protocols of the Old Testament. It is interesting seeing how the dynamics of love and fear work. One of the things that I understand about that is when I am in a loving state, I have the ability to create anything that I want to. When I move into fear, there is always the premonition that something is going to end, ultimately my physical body. It is curiosity to see how we humans on the surface of this planet don't pay attention to the dynamics and how they work, and so consequently nothing is done to eliminate one as an act of protocol from the perspective that one chooses to be as who they are. The curious thing about our life and times now is that the thought is that we are running out of time. According to the Hopi tradition, Earth is going to evolve from a third density planet to a fourth. And from that perspective, negativity will no longer be the predominant as it is now. The energy of the Earth is going to change its polarity from a negative-based polarity as the electron being active to a positronic energy in which the electron will be latent. And only those individuals who are harvestable within the context of positive surface polarity will basically evolve the species. And it's very possible that in the days ahead that people are going to have one of four, maybe I should say four options. One option is repeating third density on another planet, which from what I understand is over 99% of the human race. Because one of the clarities of insight that has come to me is that every single person on the surface of this planet who has bought into science, religion, education, business, politics, law, and medicine, which are the protocol traditions of the invader culture mindset, it is why the indigenous people did not engage in or participate with science, religion, education, business, politics, law, and medicine. The indigenous way has almost become a forgotten way of life, and from what I understand, the indigenous is how we were created to exist as humanly. It must be remembered that the only way that we evolve is through consciousness, conscious awareness. In one sense, all we are doing is we're resolving the issues that act as catalysts only. We are developing our talents. We are consciously aware, and this is the contribution that we make to others. Without too much ego, without too much need for attention. This is something that people simply aren't paying attention to. It is a curious thing because we humans aren't paying attention to the details. We're missing the point. Continuing the vein, there are those that are going to repeat third density according to Ramtha, according to Edgar Cayce, according to Mary Summerrain. Are those that are harvested in the negative or removed and taken to that part of the universe that corresponds to their service polarity. Those that are arbitrary will simply transition thinking the world has ended. There is the possibility that, according to Mary Summerrain, there's going to come a point in time in which, when people look up, the only thing that's going to be seen as the sky are going to be millions, possibly billions of UFOs, because I'm of the opinion that the soul gets here by a UFO and it goes home by the same UFO. There is a very strong possibility that there's going to come a point in time in which, when the earth changes start, that people are going to have an opportunity of going from the surface inside the planet, according to the raw material. The level of change is going to be so great on the surface that nothing that is a living species is going to survive the level of change. That's a possibility. I personally have read probably 35 different books on the end times, earth changes, and that. According to Mary Summerrain or her teacher, No Eyes, and I don't know if anybody or very many people are familiar. She wrote Phantoms Afoot, Spirit Song, Phoenix Rising, I think was her third book. She has Earthway. She's written about 7 or 8 books. I don't know if she's written anything recently, but in her book, Phoenix Rising, No Eyes shares with Mary Summerrain that all of the toxic waste that is buried in the surface is going to be re-presented to the surface of this planet. According to Mary Summerrain, she made the comment that in her book, Phoenix Rising, that every volcano was going to be active. According to science, every 600 million years, the Earth reverses its magnetic field. So it will be interesting to see if that's the case. There was a picture, there was a article that I read in the Livingston Enterprise newspaper. It said 0 to 5,000 years, where they were basically postulating that there's a possibility that within the next 5,000 years, the Earth is going to change its magnetic field. According to the raw material, the Earth is going to rotate on its axis because it's out of alignment by 22 degrees. So the North Pole is going to be approximately the longitude of Greenland, and Australia is going to be approximately at the longitude of Australia. One of the things that I was told personally was that if both ice caps melt, every landmass will be submerged underwater. There is the speculation that the sea level on this planet is going to rise 300 to 600 feet. There is a tape that I have called Secrets of the UFO, or Messages of the UFO. I think it's Messages of the UFO. And the very last source says that there's going to come a point in time in which every coast is submerged under 300 to 600 feet of water. And about 70% of the world's population lives on a coastline. I'd like to welcome Supernatural Radio. You are a brave soul, because the message that I have for humanity is something that people don't understand, they don't want to hear, or they could care less about. That's the common denominator. I just say it as I see it, which is why this show is called Welcome to My Point of View. And if people get it, great. If they don't get it, great. the good news about existence, the great news about our life and times as we have eternity to get it. Because as I have said in the past, some people are very, 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 very slow. And it takes them lots and lots of lifetimes to get it. One of the recommendations I tell people is read Journeys Out of Body by Robert Monroe. It was first written in 1974 because there's actually a description in the book of how people come to this planet and how they incarnate and how they develop. And it's real interesting because it's written from the perspective of AA, B, and BB are on a KT-95, which is a kind of craft. And they're going from point A to point B, and they get to the Earth, and AA decides to incarnate, forgets that it's AA from KT-95, and so on. And then BB has the daunting task of trying to get AA to remember that, oh, you were from this place. What people don't realize is that every soul on this planet comes from someplace in the universe. And how the soul gets here is by a UFO, or an alien craft, if you will, that comes from. And if you look at the number of people, there's 7+ billion people on the surface of this planet. And it's very possible that number of souls that have come from different places is over 6 billion places in the universe. The interesting thing is that when we look at the development of consciousness as the soul, how the universe unifies itself within the context of a human organism is through collective ascension. There is also individual ascension. The Great White Brotherhood is a organization of individuals that have ascended, and the explanation that was given to me about 35 years ago was individual ascension is more negative than positive because individuality is more negative or positive. It comes with an automatic negative bias. The flip side is that if we want to have a positive discipline or development within the context of our life, that's where collective ascension comes in. Now, according to the raw material, the interesting thing about individuality is according to the raw, the last state in which individuality is possible is the third octave of sixth density, and we are at the eighth octave of third density now. Individuality ceases to exist at the fourth octave of sixth density because it's a reunification of, as the raw states, light, love, love, light, that we represent as male and female. It's like the male is to light love, what the female is to love light, which is interesting. According to the raw material, there's time-space, and there's space-time, and they're two completely different states of existence. They also have a coinage where they say learn, teach, teach, learn, which is pretty interesting. So it becomes, in some ways, it becomes a daunting task about who we are within the context of the process because we're not paying attention to the right details. And we're not paying attention to the right details because part of the work that a person has a responsibility to doing is conscious awareness, and conscious awareness is only possible through meditation. However, there are a lot of forms of meditation that are taught on this planet. Now, according to Edgar Cayce, there are as many ways to meditate as there are people who meditate. There are a lot of traditional ways of meditating that don't facilitate conscious awareness. One of the things that we haven't done a very good job with is we don't understand what the human being is of. God and universe, divinity, deity, Yahweh, id, and mom and dad. Most people stick strictly within the context of mom and dad, and so they miss the point that the flip side of mom and dad is Yahweh and id, and then the flip side of Yahweh id is divinity and deity, and then the flip side of divinity and deity is the all-encompassingness of God and the infinitude of the universe. If we give a name to God, Yahweh, id, and universe, its mind, body, spirit, soul, which can also be thought of as will, love, light, and consciousness. This is the nature of the self. However, if an individual grabs an atypical body of knowledge, there is not going to be a delineation or spelling out of what the nature of the self is. When the warlord God Jehovah took possession of this planet, everything was systematically destroyed. Every systems theory, everything, allowing us to understand and recognize what we are as the human beingness of, as it corresponds to the existence of that which is real and true. They have been systematically eliminated. It is why when you look at the protocols that are done by science, religion, education, business, politics, law, and medicine, the interesting thing about science, according to David Icke, science and religion originated out of the same school of thought. And it's interesting because science denies the existence of God. It denies the existence of the soul. It denies the existence of aliens. And the pinnacle achievement of science as a protocol is weapons of mass destruction. More science goes into militarization than everything else combined. When we get to the idea of religion, religion exists for the sole purpose of false doctrine about God, false doctrine about life, false doctrine about what it is to be a human being. When we get into the idea of education, the thing that goes into the role of education is it's not based upon intuition, psychic ability, and channeling. It's basically arbitrary information that allows an individual to get a degree and then a career, and then an individual spends their time involved with the career, basically missing the point entirely about what it is to be a human being. When we get into the idea of business, business is primarily a self-serving process so that the people at the top, i.e. upper management, CEOs, presidents, and so on, make all the money, and the people at the bottom are basically living at the poverty level. When we get into politics, one of the things that's interesting about politics, all it is about passing arbitrary laws that are primarily designed to ensure that the people that are in power never are removed from power. When we get into the idea of law, law is really curious because it's the good versus evil put in the context of competition or conflict between one individual and another, and then the courts decides that you're right, you're wrong. And then when we get into the idea of medicine, medicine is a curious thing because people don't realize that every single disease on this planet has been manufactured in a laboratory by the medical profession and then deliberately introduced in the process. In 1984, AIDS was created in a laboratory by Dr. Gould. It's on YouTube. You can actually go and apply for a patent. And then the Reagan administration deliberately introduced AIDS into Africa and the gay community here in the United States, under the pretense or premise of eliminating blacks and gays from the planet as a species. It is a curious thing when we look at what's going on the surface of this planet now with all of its silliness, and we are very, very misguided. And we are misguided because we basically buy into things that have no relevance or realness whatsoever within the context of the evolution of the species at all. And so the question is at what point are we going to decide as human beings that we are no longer interested in being involved with things that are detrimental to the evolution of the development of the species? The good news is there is going to come a point in time in which the invader culture mindset in its entirety becomes extinct from this planet. It's the same process that led to the extinction of the dinosaurs. The dinosaurs became extinct because it was realized after the creation of mammals that dinosaurs were ineffective because things exist only for love and light, and that is it. And when mammals were created and brought to life on this planet, it was time to get rid of the dinosaurs. And the parameter by which the dinosaurs could exist was literally removed. Here's the kicker. Here's the tidbit. No other species became extinct at that time. It was business as usual for every experience. So the question is what were the parameters that was withdrawn that caused the extinction pretty much overnight, like in a 24-hour period, for the dinosaurs as a species? It is very possible. It is very possible that the parameters of the invader culture mindset, which is electricity and oil, are simply going to be withdrawn. And it will literally bring the invader culture mindset to a standstill. And then it will be interesting to see what happens, because what are people going to do? According to Raptha on his tape, Jehovah versus It, which I recommend people get a copy of and listen to, because the question that was asked was, what about the Ark of the Covenant? And then Ramtha goes through this whole spiel about Yahweh, the Creator, Id, that which brought us to life, and then Jehovah, the Destroyer God, and the whole scenario that was played within the context of the process involving those three things. Our existence, according to the raw material, as a human being, is only 75,000 years old. We did not begin millions of years ago. 75,000 years. Third density is a 325,000 year cycle of development, and it is the shortest density that exists. According to the raw material, first density of the universe is 1.1 billion years. Second density is 1.3 billion years. Third density, at the level of the human, is 75,000 years. And every 25,000 years, there's a harvesting of souls. And according to the raw, the first 25,000 years, which was 50,000 years ago, no harvest. 25,000 years ago, or 50,000 years down the road, there was only 150 souls that were harvestable out of 392,000 people. That was 25,000 years ago. The number that's been given to me of the number of harvestable souls within the context of positive service development is 2 million people out of 7 billion. 2 million people. It is a curiosity when we look at the amount of information that has disseminated over the years that, is there a system on the planet that teaches development of intuition, psychic ability, and channeling? Intuition is the voice of God, psychic ability is planetary, and channeling is universal. We channel the universe. The psychic ability has to do with the environment pertaining to the surface of the planet within the context of our human beingness, and intuition is the voice of God communicating to us. And are these openly developed? And the answer is no. They are basically derided. They are ignored. I actually had a person tell me way back in the 1990s that the last thing that you want to do is you want to rely on your intuitive ability. You don't want to rely on that which in it has to be something external. Well, here's the simple kicker about externals. When white light becomes color, which is the rainbow, which means it's red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, it becomes a state. It gives the perception of time and space. Buddhism teaches that it's all Maya, and there's a certain degree of truth to that, because color in and of itself doesn't exist. It allows for the representation according to an ideal that is more illusion than anything else. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is that why is it that that's the case? And part of it is that we simply are not doing our homework. We're not using our discernment to understand what's going on and why. The invader culture mindset on the surface of this planet is very, very diligent in ensuring and maintaining that there's death, destruction, and chaos. Death, destruction, and chaos is the protocol. Within the context of self-service, which is negative service polarity, the idea is, can I disseminate information that conquers and enslaves people to the death? And there are lots and lots of systems theories in place on the surface of this planet that only exist to see how many millions or billions of people are captivated within the context of the ideology. I could ask a simple question. How many people on the surface of this planet subscribe to the idea of science, religion, education, business, politics, law, and medicine being the way that it is and the way that it's supposed to be? And I can tell you right now, it's over 99% of the human race subscribes to those seven traditions that are only in place because of the invader culture mindset that was brought to this planet by the destroyer god that's worshipped in Hinduism, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. And nobody talks about it. It's business as usual. And there's going to come a point in time in which the life that we're living changes, because the energetic base of this planet is going to change to that which is positive. And the analogy can be drawn, the analogy can be made, that those who move from the head to the heart is to the positive, what the body is to the neutral, what the head is to the negative. And it's interesting when we are looking at the process, when we're looking at the development of the nature of the self, how many people rely on something outside. There's an adage that I wrote many years ago, and the adage is very simple. After all the masters and gurus are studied under, after all of the books are read, after all the paths are walked, an issue, the person still has the issue of the self to resolve, and it's only alone and in a wilderness of some kind. And almost nobody on the surface of this planet allows themselves the wilderness experience. Zoroaster went through it, Buddha went through it, Jesus went through it, Paramahansa Yogananda went through it, the Dalai Lama went through it, and so on. Every teacher worth their salt on this planet has gone through what's known as the wilderness experience for one reason only: to become consciously aware of God and universe within the context of the self, so that from the perspective of the self, there can be a certain degree of clarity, certainty, conduciveness. And the nice asides are having a sense of humor, being compassionate and kind, being content, knowing completeness, and so on. One way of understanding the creation is oneness, perfection, completeness, content that contributes, comprehensiveness, unity, union, connected, integration, reintegration is one way of understanding the nature of the self. Another is presence, isness, realness, pattern, contact, truth, I amness, allness, Godhood. Another is stillness, joy, peace, freedom, adventure, joy, love, compassion, harmony. One of the nice things for me about being here in Mount Shasta is, and I have a friend of mine who's listening to the show right now, she noticed just in the last couple of days that I have moved into a level of stillness experienced before hasn't in my life. And what happens is stillness is to the heart what peace is to the body, what social harmony is to the head. Stillness, peace, and harmony are what are a natural state within the composition or constitution of an organism that exists. It is natural as a state of being. Stillness, peace, and harmony. An individual can go anywhere on the surface of this planet where there's not too much man-made stuff and there isn't too much mass consciousness, and an individual can feel that in the environment. I had the opportunity way back in March of 2009 of standing in a driveway of a place that I was going to move into, and I actually felt my life as stillness, peace, and harmony. And it's a really interesting thing. It's a really interesting thing to feel, because the simple fact is that when things are getting kind of crazy and wild and stressful, an individual can simply move into those three states anytime, anywhere, and that becomes the reality from the perspective of the individual that chooses it. It is a curiosity to me why it is that within the context of the lives of so many people, we don't do a better job of simply being comfortable. We don't do a better job of understanding equality, balance, relationship, purpose, harmony, peace, serenity, and tranquility, as opposed to hierarchy, elitism, superiority, chosenness, good versus evil, leading to war, greed, and class distinction as social behaviors. So, here we find ourselves in this day and age, and the handwriting is on the wall, and do we understand the language that's written? One of the curious things that I read many years ago, about 30 years ago, was an article that said that under the left paw of the Sphinx, There is a Hall of Records, and in the Hall of Records there are documents in English that are 60,000 years old, and it offered the argument that the original language that we spoke before any other language came into existence was English, and we will get back to that and stop and think about it. Every single culture on this planet that studies a second language, it is English as a second language. It's the case in South America, Mexico, it's the case in Europe, it's the case in Africa, it's the case in China, the case in Asia. English is a second language. More people on the surface of this planet speak English than any other language, which is pretty cool. So the interesting thing is that when we are looking at the process, when we're looking at the protocol, it becomes curious how, when we're looking at information, see, when a person has to be careful with information. And the reason why a person has to be careful with information is, I'll use this as an analogy. If an individual writes an idea down, that idea becomes outdated 1 second after it's written down because there's something else. If we look at the movement of the heavens from the planet to the solar system to the galaxy within the context, we are never in the same time and space, which means that there's always going to be a new idea that presents itself. Every idea has to be open-ended so that it can allow for the existence that is the ability to feel and think, to extend and expand as an experience that expresses. And this is something that we don't do a very good job with. It's one of the things that I'm aware of very well is that, yes, I write ideas down, and yes, there's a certain degree of comprehensiveness to the stuff that I write. However, I'm very, very, very well aware that every single idea that I have written down is outdated by the length of time it's in print, and this is true of every single holy work. The Rig Veda is outdated by 4,000 years, the Buddhist Sutras by 2,500 years, Christianity by 2,000 years, Islam by, I believe, 1,200 years, and so on. Outdated. And the question is why is it that we absolutely insist that a given idea is the way that it is, given that everything in existence is in a process of change, nothing remains the same. When you factor in infinity into the process, it becomes a curious thing because infinity doesn't do instant replay, which means that no two things within a species, no two things within the context of varying species are the same. No two people on the surface of this planet are the same, which means that no two people are going to have the same experience and expression because of the difference within the context of the love and the light that they are within the context of infinity. So it becomes very, very curious when we look at how we live our life and you have billions of people, you have 2 billion Christians on the surface of this planet. You have billions of people that buy into science. You have billions of people that buy into business and so on. And that's not how life is. It's not how life evolves. No two people are the same. So it means that what we have a responsibility for being and knowing within the composition and constitution of humanness is to, can we live our life in a unique way? And can we be loving and understanding and accepting of that? And can we, from the perspective of life, be even-minded and wise within the context of our life about diversification? I personally recommend everybody read pages 87, 88, 89, and 90 of Volume 1 of The Raw Material because it talks about one idea is the mind must be open like a door, the key is silence. Another idea is you have to make your peace between what you approve and what you disapprove. Another idea that I find very useful is that every single thought has an antithesis. In conversations with God, God tells Neil Donald Walsh, in the absence of that which is not, that which is not. And that, to me, it can't be stated any better than that. Because the simple fact of the matter is that lacking a contrast, a given thing cannot pass the contrast. So you have to have light and dark. You have to have positive and negative. You have to have love and fear. You have to have these things so that an individual can understand what a given thing is within the composition and constitution of the self that has the ability to represent that. And the interesting thing is that within the constant, within the composition of human beingness, an individual can choose what they feel, sense, think, and envision. And you know what's interesting about feeling? It's always in the heart. The body does not feel, the heart does. The head thinks, the body does not. The heart is to feeling what the body is to simply nonness, if you will. What the head is to the ability to think. And when it's put into a context of mind, body, and spirit, soul, the heart is to the mind what the body is to the physicality of love as a representation, what the spirit is to light as a representation, what the soul is to consciousness as that which is universal. So when we're looking at the process, when we're looking at what's involved, when we're looking at what's going on, we simply have the opportunity of what do we choose to feel, sense, think, and envision from the perspective of mind, body, spirit, soul as it corresponds to God, Yahweh, it, and universe as something infinite, eternal, complete, total as is, that the sun, the earth, the moon, and the universe is that which radiates, absorbs, illuminates, and encompasses, gives us a tangibleness to. The mind is just like the sun. The body is just like the planet. The two hemispheres of the brain are just like the four phases of the moon. And then consciousness as the soul is just like the universe. And we see these every day. Every day we see the sun. Every day we see the planet. Every day we see the moon. Every day we see the universe. And yet do we put it in a human context? And the answer is no. And so what happens is that we miss the point. And in one sense, the death experience is simply the disparity between what is real and true as it corresponds to the existence of and the perspective of the ego that's insisting that it is right to the grave. And so the question is, at what point are we humans going to get to that point in the context of our life where we pay attention to the details that are universal, we pay attention to the details that are God, that we pay attention to the details that are life. If I take Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, and the New Age, and sum them in the four words, there's simply God is to Hinduism, what life is to Buddhism, what Christ consciousness is to Christianity, what serving others is to the New Age. And if I take it one step further and say, okay, so we've got God, life, human beingness of the Christ, serving others as the positive path. What's the four complements to that? The oneness of God, the healing of life, the wholeness of the Christ, and the ascension of that which serves. So those eight terms, human beingness as the Christ, or God, life, Christ, service, oneness, healing, wholeness, ascension, are the only eight words that an individual needs to work with, and they can literally figure everything out. Every great teacher has made one comment, and that is that once you become conscious, you have a responsibility of contributing to the health and welfare of others so that they become as conscious. That's the measure of awareness or consciousness through discipline. One of the mistakes that people make is that and this comes from the Seth material. One of the things that it said in the Seth material, which I thought was very interesting, gifts of the Spirit are freely given to the individual, and they are meant to be freely given to others. And which means that every single individual that charges for psychic ability, intuitive abilities, channeling, is making a mistake within the context, because those abilities are meant to be freely given, not making a person into a multimillionaire. And it's real interesting how many people with psychic abilities that transition realize that they made a grave mistake because of their insistence on glorifying the ego as the body through the ability, through the charging of a fee for a gift, which makes them simply a spiritual prostitute. I am not an individual that's interested in whether people like what I have to say. I am only interested, is it real, is it true, is it conducive, is it ongoing? Because if it's not, it is an incredible waste of time. And I have been consciously aware for a long time, and it just gets more interesting. And I actually have fun with it. And it's cool. And the nice thing is that it makes no difference to me. If anyone listens to the sound of my voice, it makes no difference to me whatsoever. As long as I am being it, knowing it, sharing it, I was shown when I was 5 years old I will ascend to take my body with me. I was told in 1982 when I was in my teens that that psychic was reading my hand. She says, you're going to live longer than they thought humanly possible. You will take your body with you when you go. You're the only person that I have read up to this point where I haven't seen the death experience. I have been aware of this for a long time. Does it mean anything? No, it only means that I'm getting on with the process. And hopefully there will be lots of people that simply decide that, no, I'm not interested in birth, crucifixion, death, reincarnation. I'm not interested in sin, sickness, disease, and death. I'm interested in oneness that heals wholeness into ascension. That's the hope. In the meantime, let's have some fun. Let's eat some bonbons. Let's pop some popcorn. Let's watch Days of Our Lives so we can watch the bubbles emanating out of the TV screen, one bubble at a time. And oh, yeah. Kind of makes it funny and kind of makes it fun. Because you stop and think about it. You know, there is a certain degree of seriousness about all of this stuff. But the single most important thing that I was ever told through a channel was this. Quote, it is in the simple delight that gives the blessing to the human. So yes, there are things that we can pay attention to. But do we enjoy ourselves within the context of the life that we're living as who we are?
ዋጋ ሊኖራቸው የሚችለው በሥራ ትርጉም እንዲገለጹ በማድረግ ተከብረውና ተጠብቀው ሲገኙ ብቻ ነው። ዋጋ ሊኖራቸው የሚችለው በሥራ ትርጉም እንዲገለጹ በማድረግ ተከብረውና ተጠብቀው ሲገኙ ብቻ ነው። ወይስ ይህንን ቃል ኪዳን እንዲያስከብሩና እንዲያስፈጽሙ የተፈረደባቸው ደካሞችና ትንንሾች መንግስታት ናቸውና?